Yeah, if you can't see, please feel welcome to fill up to the front and come forward a bit, because there are visual aids for this talk. Hello everybody, I'm Julia, for those of you that didn't know. I went on mission to Peru back in February. Now, this is my team, you can see on the screen. We were a team of seven girls, and we jetted off to the beautiful... Ooh. Cajamarca, in the north of Peru. Back in February, and we were there to work with a charity called Warmis, who are a charity that work in the rural communities surrounding Cajamarca, working with women, with children. They do support groups for both. They especially work in farming. They do, due to the climate change in the mountains, it's quite difficult for farmers to keep up with the changing rates of rainfall and things like that. So they have to, you know, adapt to the climate. And Warmis provides education programs for that and sends people in to teach them how to do that. Now, this, if it wants to work. Well, okay. One of our favourite places in the city, one of our favourite things in Peru, was Casa de Madera. Literally translated, that means house of wood, because it started as a house of wood. It was literally a wooden shed. It was founded by Mamina, who is a pastor on the next slide. She started it about 5 years when she realized that there was a need for this in the community. There was an area of the city which was very poor, and there were kids in that who were involved in quite bad stuff, and she decided she wanted to plant a church from her already existing one. To make a church for youth in this area of the city. And since then, it has grown, not only in size, because they also are no longer a wooden shed. They are a very, very large church where conferences are held and events are held there. But they've also grown spiritually as well, from only a few kids at the beginning. They now have loads of kids who treat it as a home. I don't think you can see there because Alice is covering it up, but on the wall there it says, welcome to Casa de Madera, your home. And the kids do treat it as their home. When they see the doors open, they will come in and they will talk to you. It's been amazing to see the kids who came at the beginning, who each session we usually break into groups and take it in turns to pray aloud. And it's been amazing to see the kids who came in the beginning who would stay silent during that, to, by the end of our trip, we're praying out loud, praying for each other, praying for the world. It was amazing. Another thing Casa de Madera does is it's a great source for reaching into the community. The kids who go to Casa de Madera bring their friends, and they hold events there, like a recital, which... We held a recital for all the kids in the area, where the churches from the surrounding area and the kids from Casa Numidera held a performance where they sang songs and did dances for all the kids in the area. It was really lovely. Casa Numidera was probably one of the things that pushed us the most. It was three times a week, and we were straight in from probably the second session there, leading worship, running the sessions, doing the talks, praying, which was a little tricky, seeing as everybody in Peru speaks Spanish, and we didn't speak any when we arrived. Our second church, which was the one that Mamina planted Casa Numidera from, which is a couple of slides on, was Portal de Belén. We actually lived on top of this church, which meant it was rather easy to get to in the morning. It's more of a multi-age church. There were older people, there were middle-aged people, there were young kids. And the great thing about both of these, actually, is the kids just turn up of their own accord. They don't get brought by their parents. They just walk out of the house in the morning because they want to go to church. It's wonderful. Another thing we did a lot of was... Another slide on? Yeah. Operation Christmas Child, which some of you may have heard of, which was one of the most visibly rewarding things we did. I made these shoeboxes when I was younger, so to actually see them being given out in person was absolutely brilliant. For those of you that don't know, Operation Christmas Child is a program run by Samaritan's Purse, where people in more affluent countries pack shoeboxes full of gifts, like toy cars, and then like sanitary stuff, like toothbrushes, toothpaste, flannel. And then they get shipped out to countries where the kids are less well off and given out to the kids. And what I didn't realize is they actually do a whole ceremony, this kid here. I suppose if you've never seen a stocking before, you would wear it as a hat. they do a whole ceremony where they get the kids from the surrounding area, and they do singing, dancing, they give out food, they do a drama, they do games, and then at the end they do a prayer where they ask Jesus to come into their lives. And they run a whole program along with that, teaching the Bible and some of its stories. There was one time in particular that I recall. Two kids, there was a boy and a girl, and they'd been given, because there are a lot of kids there, they'd been given the wrong boxes. The girl had a boy box and the boy had a girl box. And it wasn't until they'd already opened the boxes that we noticed, at which point we said, you know, you're allowed to swap. But they would not have it. They were very attached to their boxes because they'd been given to them. The boy was inseparable from his Disney princess plasters. It was lovely. Another thing we did was teaching, which is several slides on. This was probably the most challenging thing we did. We also did it most often. We did it five times a week. We were in three schools in the rural communities that Warmis works in, which were Soliscotcha, Wairapongo, and Ailambo. And each of the schools had various numbers of classes, and so we'd split up accordingly and teach classes in twos or threes. And we also ran our own classes in Casa Numidera and Portal de Belén, our two churches, which were more like drop-in sessions, anybody who wanted could come along and learn some English, because they don't teach it as part of the syllabus. We had pretty much free rein with our English teaching. We made our own syllabus. We made our own sheets. We had to adapt pretty quickly. There was one class Helena and I had in Salyutskaya, which it was a class of 3 to 5 year olds, and the first lesson we went in and we started teaching, we were like, we'll teach them the alphabet, that's a good place to start, right? And we got about to about C before the teacher was like, the kids don't actually know the alphabet in Spanish yet, so maybe don't teach them the alphabet in English. So we had to adapt pretty quickly. We went down the craft route with that one. But that was definitely a steep learning curve. And the final main thing we did was the women kids groups, which Warmis do, I mentioned earlier, in the rural communities. And they split up and do... So they have a women's group and a kids group, which usually run at the same time, so that the women can come to the women's group and then the kids will be looked after by the kids group. This was the most daunting thing we did, because everything else we did in 2s or 3s or all together, but this we split up individually and did by ourselves, which definitely helped us to grow in confidence. Mine was actually at Casa de Madera, which helped, because Warmis had decided that was a place they wanted to work alongside their rural communities, and so had set up women and kids groups there as well. And that was so much fun. You get to talk to the kids, do craft, do Bible sessions, and it was really great for me, because I had the Casa de Madera kids that I knew quite well already, but I also had the new kids who had the gap bridged to me by the Casa de Madera kids, because they'd help me out if I was struggling with Spanish, and I had some of the best conversations at that kids group. Now, when I was deciding what to talk about today, because I felt I needed to put some biblical input into this and, you know, pull some of what I learned out, I was a bit stuck, and I had a Bible study group, and we watched a talk by Brené Brown, who is a research professor who studies vulnerability and shame, and we were watching one of her talks, and something really stuck out to me. She said, "We live in a society where living an ordinary life is synonymous with living a meaningless one." I'll say that again, because it's quite difficult to process. "We live in a society where living an ordinary life is synonymous with living a meaningless one." I will admit, I pandered to this extremely. I thought I was going to go on my gap year, have an extraordinary experience, you know, live an extraordinary life, only to realize, to find, when I got there, shock, horror, life is pretty ordinary in Peru too, funnily enough. It's pretty much the same. Anywhere you go in the world, people live. That's just what happens. But while I was there, I realized that it wasn't about having an extraordinary experience. It wasn't doing extraordinary things which made your life meaningful. I found it came down to, as cliche as it sounds, love. Most of you probably know the verse from 1 Corinthians 13. "Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. I'm going to go back just a couple of verses before that, to part two of verse two, which says, "But even with all these things, if I do not have love, I am nothing." I'll say that again. "But even with all these things, if I do not have love, I am nothing." And this was probably the most powerful thing, because it's true, isn't it? We were shown so much love, so much unconditional love in Peru, by the people at Warmis, who just adopted us into our family right from the start, no questions asked. The locals, who included us in everything. They invited us to their events, even if that meant eating guinea pigs sometimes. And the kids at both of our churches who, you know, accepted us and welcomed us so eagerly and, you know, just loved us. We obviously had some struggles. I mean, where would we get a revelation if we didn't have some struggles, eh? There was one... Oh, that's the guinea pig. Suze and I had a class in Wairarapongo. Our class was... I think it's the next one. Yeah, there they are. We had a little bit of difficulty with them. They were a very boisterous class. There was Teresita, who's just in front of me in that photo, who would occasionally just go, "Ah! Ah!" just constantly throughout the lesson for no reason and wouldn't stop. And then you had Tatiana, who used to steal pens. Alex, who used to just walk out sometimes. You know, it was quite a difficult class. And Suze and I were struggling with it quite a lot, because we found that we were focusing on us not being able to control them. And, you know, weren't enjoying it because we felt like we were doing it wrong. And we had a particularly bad class one week, and we were feeling quite bad about it. And someone in our team did a devotion on love, on unconditional love. And they talked about how just loving, no question, just helps in every situation. And so we decided then and there that we were going to just love our Wairarapongo class. And what do you know? It worked. The next week we went back and we had such a great time. We just loved them and we just really enjoyed it. And they were much easier to handle. I think everyone just enjoyed it much more. And I know it's all very well saying love unconditionally, whatever, but I think, how? How do we do that? My answer is, we turn to God. We heard in our reading earlier, Hebrews 10, it said in there, "For he who has promised is faithful." And that is God. God has promised to help us no matter what. And he will if we ask him to. We thought, actually, this was so important, the turning to God thing, that we actually painted it on the wall at Casa Madeira. There we go. It's quite difficult to see. But it's a verse from Philippians 4. It's verse 13. It says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Particularly love. And I really love this because it translates well, so well, back to England. Coming back was a giant culture shock and quite difficult. But that is one thing that I can carry across. I can take it back here. It might just be loving your neighbour who plays music really loud at 3 o'clock in the morning. or loving the person who pushes in front of you in the queue. But we can love them, and it makes things so much better. And it might be difficult, but with God's help, we can do it. I'm going to pray to finish. Father God, thank you for your wisdom and your kindness and your ability to love. I pray that you will help us to emulate that in our everyday lives. I thank you for this trip to Peru and all that it's taught me. And I thank you especially for all these lovely people who supported me while I was there.